There's a moon over Bourbon Street tonight. I see faces as they pass beneath the pale lamplight. I've no choice but to follow that call.
He won't say it. He's mean. With LPM Podcasts, your girly of the grisly and ghastly, hostess of the horde, compare of all things cheesy. Nothing to say? You're just listening to Anders Magna, Moon Over Bourbon Street. And I have to say, they do a kick-ass remake of
Cars.
It's quite awesome. You have to go to their website, andersmagna.com, and check out all their songs. You know, you can listen to lots of their songs. They're free. They're a fabulous band. tonight, we're going to talk about Defendor.
With an O-R.
With an O-R, that's right. It had Woody Harrelson, and it's a comedy centered around three characters, an everyday guy who comes to believe he's a superhero.
But it was sad.
Well, yeah, it was. It was. It was made last year, and IMDb says their little summary is, a crooked cop, a mob boss, and the young girl they abuse are denizens of a city's criminal underworld. It's a world that ordinary Arthur Poppington doesn't understand and doesn't belong in, but is committed to fighting when he changes into a vigilante superhero of his own making, Defendor. With no power other than courage, Defendor takes to the streets to protect the city's innocence. He's got some powers, or at least some cool weapons that he he uses, correct?
A jar of angry hornets.
Or I like one of the first lines that I remember him saying, look out, termites. It's squishing time. And I put that his first weapon of choice was throwing marbles. He threw like a handful or something of marbles at people so that they'd slip all over. And yeah, that's what he did to this guy in a car who was trying to get a blowjob from this young chick that he was selling drugs to.
What does the wind do?
The wind swishes. I don't know. And it turns out that drug dealer was a cop. And they get him, he beats up the cop who was the drug dealer. And then the cops get Defendor while he's in a diner eating his pancakes.
Blueberry pancakes.
Yes. But I liked that his outfit was like his little black outfit, and every time he had silver trim, which was
duct tape,
and he had to put his D on and all his duct tape trim every time. But wouldn't you know, he gets out of the police station, and the next situation he encounters is the same drug dealer cop.
Is it the situation from the Jersey Shore?
I have no clue. I doubt it, seriously, because he wasn't lifting up his shirt and going, look at this. That's when he uses the jar of angry wasps.
Take that, evildoers.
That's right. I like his superhero ride is an old Mack truck he calls
Defend Dog.
Sweet! But, oh, poor Defendor. This time he gets his ass kicked by bad cop and his angry crew. And he gets these flashbacks of his mom when he was little. And his mom left him. And the girl from the beginning, the blowjob drug babe, she picks him up and gets him home somehow, and she finds his stash of comic books and swipes number one of one of them. Boo! Because she thinks she can make some dough off of it. And that's not nice. It's not nice. So, Defendor is looking for a Captain Industry, a drug smuggler. And the blowjob drug chick user. Her name's Angel so far.
It's like a present. You have to wrap it.
What?
It's like a present. You have to wrap it.
What's like a present? What's like a present and you have to wrap it? The BP? Why do you say that?
That's what she said in the show. And then she threw him a cardboard.
Oh, yeah, but he didn't know what she was talking about.
Neither did you.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'm kind of like Defendor. But so far, her name's Angel. And she says maybe she knows who Captain Industry is since, you know, she's a junkie. And she thinks it's Radovan Krstic. And he's Captain Industry. And he's in the Serban militia, too. And he's in with the bikers, too. Who, the bikers just so happen that the cops are planning a secret sting on them. And Angel's not going to help Defendor for free, though. She wants $40 a day for her info so she can go buy her some crack or whatever she was doing. I don't know. It was in a glass pipe. I don't know.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack. Oh, and we flash between his psych sessions, too, like his psychiatric sessions. And Sandra Oh, who is Dr. Ellen Park, that's Arthur or Defendor. That's his, I guess, court-appointed psychiatrist in prison because he's in the prison orange during these sessions that he's having with her. And Angel brings back his number one comic to him, too, because someone only offered her $4 for it, so she figured it was shit, and she might as well give it back. And it turns out Angel isn't her real name, either.
She lied?
I know, right? Who would have thought a junkie, sex fiend, hooker person would have lied? But her real name's Kat. Katarina Brockfowitz. So what else did she lie about? But, you know what else we find out? Hmm. Arthur has some mad slingshot skills.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sure does. And his third encounter with bag drug dealing cop whose name is Sergeant Chuck Dooney. He slingshots him and he duct tapes him up. And Mr. Defendor, you know what else?
He squirts him with lime juice.
Well, that and you know what else he does every time he goes out?
He videotapes it.
Yes. He videotapes all of his escapades. And I'm sure in the end, this is going to work in his favor somehow. So, yeah, the lime juice was my next thing. Like, it's painful, terrible lime juice. But there comes a point where Arthur questions Kat about why she smokes the bling. Because that's what she calls it, is the bling. And then he calls it the bling. And he wants to help her. Aww.
She's Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah, because he tells her, like, I think she made all A's in English or literature or writing, and she started college but quit. But it seems that Sergeant Dooney has a bling problem as well. Because they show him smoking the rock as well. And Defendor, because, you know, he's a good crime fighter, he brings all his VHS tapes to the police. But it seems that he has basically tape recorded a bunch of people just ordering different kinds of food, like fried chicken, pizza, Chinese.
And cussing a lot.
And cussing a lot, yeah. They cuss a lot, that's what he says. But he doesn't have any visual on Sergeant Dooney, and he's trying to tell him he's a bad cop, but he doesn't have anything on him. And his boss in real life, because he works for, like, the utilities company, kind of, or streets, I don't know. It was something like that, because he always stands with the slow sign and the stop sign in the street. Paul is his boss and his only friend. And he discovers that Arthur's been living in the shop of the utilities or place, whatever warehouse that they use, Department of the City. And he decides to give Arthur a cell phone to keep track of him and to help him out. And he needs more VHSs to record. So he gives Kat money to get him some more VHS tapes. And you know what she does?
Buys porn.
She's like, look, you can just put a piece of tape over this and tape over him. I got a whole box for $3. That was kind of funny. In the next altercation he has, it seems that maybe there is this good undercover cop trying to help out old Defendor. But then you think maybe not, because he pulls out this machine type gun and sprays it around and knocks out Defendor, and Arthur gets hurt. But when he gets hurt, he's learned to go to the nice place in his mind until he feels better again. So the good thing was, after he gets out of the nice place in his mind, was that he was shot with training bullets, the doctor says, kind of like paintballs. So he's good, but you know what it makes him think? He's invincible, and that bullets just bounce off of him. Yeah. So now he really thinks he's invincible. So.
Thank you.
No, I'm not invincible, and I'm not Lois Lane, and I'm not a superhero.
Yet.
I wish. But the poor undercover cop that tried to save Defendor, he got found out by Captain Industry and shot up and killed. Right. And while in the hospital, Kat tells Defendor to forget about Captain Industry. He should really worry about real bad guys like her dad and go kick her dad's ass. Because, what did he say? I know he was, like, doing stuff with kids.
Yeah.
But I forgot what he called it now. But anyway, so Arthur goes in his hospital gown down to where Kat's dad owns a dry cleaning shop. And he throws Kat's dad in the garbage can.
Because he wanted to be thrown in the garbage
can. Because he wanted to be thrown in the garbage can, yes. So now Defendor is in, you know, on trial. Because he's finally gotten arrested for that. Out of all things, he got arrested for that. And Dr. Ellen begs the judge to keep him out of jail because he won't survive in jail. Because he's kind of special.
Special.
So special.
Special.
They decide that, you know, if he quits being Defendor and he lives...
No!
Yeah, I know, he does throw a fit. He doesn't take that very well. But they decide if he agrees to quit being Defendor and lives with his boss, Paul, that he won't have to go to jail. And that's when, yeah, Arthur doesn't take too kindly to that judgment.
No,
sad panda. So Kat now goes back to evil cop Dooney. And bad guys go and throw a paper airplane note at Arthur while he's standing outside on the street with, you know, the slow sign. He's back at work. And he opens it up, and it's a pic of Kat with duct tape and a note that says, "Talk, and she dies." So Arthur kind of takes that seriously. You know why? Because he kind of quits talking now. Because, you know, it said talk. Or she dies, so he just shuts up completely. And Kat makes her way out by shooting Dooney in the balls. And they flee because of what happened before. Arthur, you know, he thinks bullets are going to bounce off of him. Guns are for cowards. And Kat gives him a gun that has 5 bullets in it. And after an attack from Defend Dog, which means thousands of marbles being shot out and swarms of bees, Captain Industry shoots poor Defendor down with a whole bunch of shots. And they're not the paintball type shots. And Kat promises not to do drugs and to get a real job and to get a typewriter to be a real Lois Lane. And he says he'll see her on the moon because when he was a kid, the mama told him to always look at the moon, and there was always going to be a moon, and they could always see it together before his mom left him. And his mom, the whole reason he was after Captain Industry was because Captain Industry killed his mom with the drugs. And that's sad. And aww. Yeah. And Kat actually gets a real typewriter, and she's typing away, and you know what? A bee flies by her, and she stops and goes, that's how the movie ends.
Tell me about the mural.
Oh, I forgot about the mural. The one guy he tried to save at the beginning with the stupid bad cop that was helping beat him up, he was a graffiti artist. And when he finally got arrested and his picture was in the paper, the graffiti artist did a huge mural of Defendor and a picture of him on the wall. And when he got shot up by Captain Industry and allegedly killed, we don't know yet, I have a feeling there might be a sequel involved, they made a huge memorial out of it, and people brought flowers, and even the psychiatrist Sandra Oh brought her daughter there, and they brought notes and flowers to him. It's a very heart-wrenching movie. It was kind of, you thought it was going to be funny and cool when we picked it up, and then it kind of turned out to be sad.
It was Canadian, eh?
It was a Canadian film, eh?
Hoser.
The Great White North. That's where it was made. But, I don't know, I kind of liked it. What did you think?
I like it a lot.
You like it a lot? I highly recommend it. We picked it up in the $5 bin, or $4 bin, actually, at Blockbuster, because it was 5 movies for $20, so we got it for $4. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I highly recommend it. It wasn't advertised very much, but it was good. Better than a lot of other movies we've seen in the theaters lately, so.
It was good, no?
It was good, yes. Very, very good. So we're going to take a little break. We will leave you with some entertainment, some music. And we'll be back in a bit.
Bye.
you can change in your habits. What you drink out? Your life is not what you think. Why don't you say no good? You can change in your habits because you're a slave to your life. To your life. To your life. To your life. To your life.
Ma parole s'appelle Nemo, oui, flippé. and I want to kill you.
Sorry, we were listening to Twilight Zone radio dramas because, you know, I'm kind of obsessed with Twilight Zone, and I listen to the Twilight Zone radio dramas when I can't sleep at night on my new iPod Nano, which has more memory than my last iPod Nano.
And a pedometer.
I guess I should tell you what music we just listened to before we go off on a tangent, huh?
Maybe.
But anyway, I'm obsessed with Twilight Zones. And I was in orgasmic pig heaven this past weekend. It makes me buttery in my nether regions because they do the Twilight Zone marathons on New Year's. So, except this year, they freaking interrupted it with wrestling. What is wrestling doing on sci-fi anyway? I mean, I can handle wrestling. I think it's great in a cheesy factor. I don't sit and watch it. But when you tell me you have a Twilight Zone marathon on,
God damn it, there better be a marathon on!
And you don't interrupt it with 2 hours of wrestling. I'm waiting to see my Rod Sterling and all my It's a Cookbook! But there was time now! Those things. You know, I'm waiting to see that shit. And when you interrupt it, it greatly upsets me.
They wouldn't like you when you're angry.
That's the Hulk. It's not my Twilight Zone.
That's you.
Yeah, I could turn into She-Hulk, huh? But, yeah, that upset me. But I was in pig heaven with the freaking Twilight Zone marathon, as I am every year. But anyway, back to our music. You were listening to Dirty Bees with Your Life, The Franks.
It's my life. It's now or never.
Not quite.
I want to be forever.
Yeah, not quite.
Have a nice day.
Then The Franks with Modern Man. And Le Papi Tobayo? I am horrible with languages. I mean, I can do a little French, but okay. But anyway, Le Papi Tobayo with Nemo. I'm sorry. It's a good song. I just can't say their name. I'm sorry, people. Sad panda. We have a ton of upcoming events to let you know about, by the way.
Because we've been lacking. Slacking and lacking.
We've been slacking and lacking, yeah. That's why... I forgot to say happy 2011.
One more year left, bitches! Cash out your 401k and buy some goods!
Technically, almost two, because it's supposed to be December 21st of 2012, something like that. So almost 2 years left. Yeah, cash out your 401ks and party like it's 1999, but 2012.
But in 99, they were worried about Y2K.
I know, right?
So how much did they party?
I'm trying to remember how I partied. Oh, we don't want to remember how I partied. That was not a good year.
Is that where the naked pictures ended up on the tabloids?
I wish it was that. Believe me, I'd be happy if it was that. And I had a better body in 1999, 2000. So, yeah, if I knew then what I knew now, I would have been a nudist.
But you have a banging body.
Oh, we wish. We wish I had a banging body.
A body I like to bang.
What has happened to El Sammy Bisto? 2011 must be a good year, because usually I can hardly get him to talk.
You're
the rabbit.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. But, yeah, we should have ate rabbit. Instead, on New Year's, we had duck.
Duck.
Quack, quack.
Yeah, we had duck. Damn it. But anyway. I guess we should talk about our upcoming events.
We have a lot.
And they're all...
We care a lot.
We care a lot about you. But
the listener.
We love our listeners. We try to entertain you as best as we can.
Show us on a doll where you touch the listeners.
You know, we should do a video just for one cast. Could we hook it up to the website and do one video?
Michael Mann casting? Can do anything.
Michael Mann can do anything. He's fabulous. He's the guy who made our website, and we love it. And he made our logos. Everything. Fabulous. Love him. Love him.
You want to have his babies.
I don't want to have anybody's babies. Sorry. If I had babies, they would be the spot. It would be like Rosemary's Baby. It would be the devil. That must be why you bought me that locket when we were in Cresta Butte.
Shh.
We put the tannin's root in the ball locket.
It's for good health.
It's for good health. Okay. Actually, Tuesday is Roller Coaster Tuesdays with Rockstar Aaron at Moe's. 1037 Broadway. It starts at 9 p.m. And this Tuesday is a tribute to Tina Marie, who just passed away. 80s icon. Yeah. But it's Tuesday, Tina Marie tribute night. Enjoy a variety of Tina Marie tracks throughout the night. And a Love a Girl shot special. That was her big song. Plus other surprises. You know, I can't even remember. I suck.
Oh, yeah?
For a price.
What does the wind do?
Blue. But go to rockstarerin.com to check out more info on that and all his events that will be happening this month. Now, on the 7th at 10 p.m., Peaks and Pasties is having a free show.
No way!
Yes way! Boobies for free!
Why wasn't I invited?
You were.
I know.
That's at Meadow Muffins. That's a great name of a place. I'm sorry. Meadow Muffins. I just want to say it all the time. Meadow Muffins. Sounds tasty, doesn't it?
Your muffins are like meadows.
Okay. 2432 West Colorado Avenue in the Springs. And you can go to PeastandPasties.com for more info on that. Now, next Sunday is Mundo Presents, and that's at Rack House Pub, and it's the night of the Dangerous Teas. And we have featuring Little Miss Firefly. She's going to be doing some glass walking, I hear. That's pretty awesome.
I'll bring the lime juice.
No. No lime juice.
For her feet.
That would hurt.
I know.
You're evil.
Evil.
I'm going to tell her you said that. That it begins at 7 o'clock at the Rack House. 208 South Kalamath Street. You can go to amundo.net to buy pre-tickets. Or buy pre-sales $10. At the door is $15, I believe. And that is going to be an awesome show. It's only once a month, so you should really check it out. I'll be there.
Videos of their show on the website, too.
Yeah, there are videos, so you can get a precursor of what may occur.
You can get teased.
A tease, yes.
You can get aroused and titillated.
Yes, you can. You most certainly can. I'll be there as well. And then we have two shows at Bender's for Burly Cute, which is Too Sexy for the Stock Show Burlesque. That is the 13th and the 20th, and both shows start at 8 p.m., and that's at Bender's Tavern at 314 East 13th Avenue. And
after you finish your mutton busting?
After I finish some mutton busting. Bring your mutton and I'll bust it. you can go to burlycute.com for those tickets and more info. That is going to be a very fun show as well. lots of fun girls. Annabella LaFontaine, Frangelica Love, Vivian Vavoom, Corvette, and me, and Petra Pusey is our stage kitten. Then on the 14th, Death Wish, a dark dance night at Trax, 3500 Walnut Street in Denver. Free before 9:30 if dressed as a superhero or a supervillain. What are you going to dress as?
Defendor.
Ooh, we could do that too. You could put on your long johns and we can just duct tape you up. And a construction hat. We could spray paint it black.
Every weekend.
I know, right? Who's in our bedroom? But you can go to Facebook, Death Wish Denver, and check that out. We may hit that up one night. Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School this month, January 16th at 7, and it's at Illiterate Magazine on 82 South Broadway. The main guest model this month is Vanessa Hart at VanessaHart.com. She will be presenting the art of the pinup at the next Dr. Sketchy's. That's really fun. There's prizes. Vivian Vavoom hosts that.
What do you have to do to get the prize?
Well,
is it like at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box?
No. What they do is the model does all these poses. There's different sessions, time sessions. Like the first session has, I think...
Posing,
yeah. No. There's.
Is she part of a Poison cover band?
No. But the model does like 10 1-minute poses and
there's... Do you win a prize if you make her laugh?
No, because we've had people make us laugh before and they didn't win a prize. But actually, the artists draw in these 1-minute sketches or in movement sketches and they get judged. And the people who get like the best 3 out of a set... different posing session get prizes, and there's always fun stuff, and there's beverages and music and games, and it's just a fun time to be had by all. That's all I have to say about that. It's really fun. You should go and check it out. The spaces fill up. I think you can bring your own chair or pillows to sit on the floor. It's fun. So check out drsketchy.com and there's go to the locations and go to the Denver one and you can find out all about that. Or on Facebook, Dr. Sketchy's Denver. The Denver Roller Dolls are having tryouts on the 16th from 3 to 5 p.m. And it's at the DRD Practice Facility, which is at 3600 Wing Coop A3 in Denver. Go to denverrollerdolls.org for more info. I'm sure they have an email address where you can contact them and get a little more information on that. I hear something really fun, too. Viva Las Vegas is going to be coming up this year again. And one of our favorite ladies is in the competition. And you should go vote for her. It's Fanny Fitz Tightly. So go to VivaLasVegas.net. There's a link on our site and a picture of the lovely Miss Fanny Fitz Tightly. And you should go vote for her so that she can get into the Viva Las Vegas competition. Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. And I think that may have done it for our events. Anything you can think of? Okay, if we think of anything else, we'll let you know. But I think that's it for right now. My head hurts. Okay, we're going to leave you to listen to a little more music. Have a little more fun, and we'll be back again with a little talk about this happy little flick called The Road. Are you ready to roll?
Thank you. This next song is about every single thing ever.
While you were listening to music, we were finishing watching Pirate Radio.
Rock and roll!
And thinking how awesome it would have been to be on that ship and live during that time. Because we're both children of the 70s. And that was in 1966, 67. Right?
67, I think.
And then at the end, they show all these albums that span to, like, the 90s, because they showed, like, Nirvana and stuff, album covers, and we were like, it's kind of sad, because people don't make albums anymore, and people don't buy vinyl and save their money to go to the record store to buy vinyl anymore. People buy stuff on iTunes, or whatever they buy it on. I don't know. I've never done it. I'm a virgin. Yeah. I don't care. I'm old school in some ways.
Touched for the very first time.
Yeah. I'm just old school. And to me, it's sad that, I don't know. I'm not going to go into our discussions of darn kids these days. I guess I'll tell you what you were listening to instead.
Yay.
Yay. The first song was After Party with Human Cannonball. It's kind of an awesome title. King Face with Lick the Moon.
The full moon?
I don't know. Just the moon in general.
The half moon? The maybe, three quarters moon?
Maybe so. Waning, waxing. I don't know.
Stop mooning me.
And the last song was The Sadies with Flash. I wish. That's an awesome song. I'm sorry. Still a great movie and a great soundtrack.
He saved everyone.
For one of us. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, our second little discussion.
A Christmas classic.
It is a Christmas classic, actually. El Sammy Bisto and I, normally, on Christmas Eve, we head downtown to a theater that serves alcohol.
A theater near you.
A theater near you. And we go see a movie and eat sushi. Last year, it was snowy, and we packed our flasks. Me, Jin, you, Captain Morgan, and we bought some sodas, and that was one of the few times we didn't buy alcohol at said theater. And we settled down for a Christmas movie called The Road.
It's a heartwarming tale.
It's a heartwarming tale, isn't it? Little did we know what we were in for. IMDb says, a father and his son walk alone through burned America. Nothing moves in the ravaged landscape save the ash on the wind and water. It is cold enough to crack stones, and when the snow falls, it is gray. The sky is dark. Their destination is the warmer south. Although they don't know what, if anything, awaits them there, they have nothing, just a pistol to defend themselves against the lawless, cannibalistic bands that stalk the road. The clothes they are wearing, a rusting shopping cart of scavenged food in each other. I don't even know why they included the rusting shopping cart, because like within the first 15 minutes of the movie, they lose that. But anyway. Hey, you know what it kind of sounds like? Twilight Zone Midnight Sun. Except without the cannibals and Midnight Sun. Anyway. See how I turn everything? You know they made a Twilight Zone kind of like that.
Simpsons did it.
Yeah, Simpsons did it. They probably have. We haven't watched The Simpsons in a really long time. But I kind of want to read the book to see, like, if there's a little more detail. Although I heard the book is even more depressing than the movie. You know, but...
You have to carry the fire inside you.
That's right. You have to imagine in a situation like this, whenever whatever happened that was the apocalypse that caused it, you imagine that you would stuff your backpack full of sugar-laden products. Like Twinkies and candy bars, you know, full of preservatives so they last forever. I don't know, but obviously they didn't get to do that. Aww. Right?
Right.
It happened kind of quick, it seemed like. But it seemed like, you know what got me was, like, in the flashbacks with the wife and she had the kid and they were living in the house still and, you know, chopping up the piano and everything for firewood. What got me was she had the kid, and the kid was pretty old before she decided to take off her coat and everything and walk out into the nightlife to get eaten by cannibals. But, I mean, well, that's what I assume happened to her. I don't know. They never saw her again when she walked out the house. But you have to assume if they lasted that long, why would she decide to kill herself then? Mm. See, this is why I need to read the book. I need to see if I have... answers to my questions, my looming questions.
Maybe they had marital problems and they couldn't get along anymore.
Yeah, they were stuck in that house for years, huh?
Yeah.
Because it happened, she was just pregnant and then she had the kid and then the kid was like, I don't know, got to be 8 years old before she walked out. So yeah, they were cooped up. She went stir crazy, huh? Probably.
He probably didn't put things up right.
Yeah. He didn't wash the dishes right.
Right.
I don't know. He didn't flush right.
Left the toilet seat up.
Or maybe it was just the fact that they couldn't flush anymore and they were shitting like in the back bedroom. I don't know. But hence, the dad and the kid go on the road. The creepiest part of the movie, Sam.
Can't wait to get on the road again.
What was the creepiest part of the movie for you?
The basement full of peeps.
Yeah. Mine was, they come across the house, and it's a really pretty house, you know? I mean, I know it's, like, kind of run down because, you know, it's an apocalypse and stuff that's been going on for 10 years or so, but...
Not the little beep, beep, beeps, but people beeps.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. And, they crawl in the window, and their first clue should have been the huge pile of shoes in the room when they... got in. Clue number two, trap door on the kitchen floor under a table. And you think they're going to leave, but they don't. And the dad goes out to the shed, and he miraculously finds an axe. And he cracks the lock on the trap door. See, trap door with a padlock on it, on the floor, should have been clue number three, that something's in there that you don't want to see. Or something
delicious.
Or something that you don't want to get out, and then you're going, what the hell's in there? Because you don't see any animals in this now apocalyptic world.
Except for the doggy.
That was at the very end. You didn't see any dogs through the whole movie. You didn't see anything. No rats, no, except for crickets or roaches or whatever they were eating.
And they weren't even dipped in chocolate.
I know. But you know what? I would eat them over the fire, like crackly good. They'd have to be crispy like nuts or
pork crackers.
Chex mix, something.
You love to put nuts
in your mouth. As long as we had Cajun seasoning, I'll eat anything.
You are always putting nuts in your mouth.
Pretty much. If we had Cajun seasoning, yeah, I'd eat the roaches. I'd eat them even without that. Who am I kidding? As long as you pan fry those suckers and get them crispy and pull off the legs, I'm fine. Okay, so clue number four to me was when he went out to the shed to get an axe. He didn't even notice, the kid noticed it, but he didn't notice. It's like a tripod with a big meat hook hanging on it. What's that doing in the yard? So, you know, when they go down the trap door and they're walking around, and he finds all these naked people trapped, and it's like a human meat locker. I would have said, get the F out.
Hells yeah.
Yeah. But, so, when he finally does decide to run, in the window they see all these folks, I guess, who live there, coming back from their hunting trip. And he's got to try to hide and shut the kid up, because the kid's freaking out. And like you said, El Sammy Visto, you said something like, too bad they couldn't have thrown all those folks down there some knives or something, so at least they'd have some kind of fighting chance, because they didn't lock them back up.
I know.
You know, there were a couple of times in the movie, too, this was the other creepy thing to me, where man, because nobody had a name in the movie, it was man, boy, wife, old man, whatever, he would put the gun up to the kid's head and try to shoot him all the time. That was kind of creepy too.
Aww.
It was kind of creepy. But this time, like, when he did it, he put the gun up to the kid's head and like was going to pull the trigger. At least his attempt was thwarted because all the meat locker people busted through the trap door and distracted the hunter people that had trapped him down there, so they were able to escape. And man keeps telling boy that we're the good guys, and the kid keeps saying,
are the people in the meat locker like the people from the Jersey Shore?
Did they fist pump?
No, but they are bait.
Oh, zombie bait, because they're kind of dumb.
Yeah.
They probably were, because they were probably dumb. Although, this leads me to my question at the end of the movie. And now I'm going to... Okay. I'll try to remember my question at the end of the movie. He keeps calling them, we're the good guys. The kid keeps saying, we're the good guys. We're the good guys. It reminds me of Chucky.
There was no good guy doll.
Exactly.
But every time he says, "We're the good guys, we're the good guys," it reminds me of, "I'm a good guy doll." Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, they come to another abandoned house, and we find out that it's man's childhood home that he grew up in. And nothing really happens there, except I think the kid sees another kid while he's sitting on the porch. But Nan's been coughing up blood a lot. So me thinks he has the consumption, the TB, the tuberculosis. That's my diagnosis through the movie. They never say it, but I'm pretty sure he's got the TB. Which is, yeah, not good. Old disease brought back by no hospitals. And it's airborne, so I mean, anybody can catch it. Especially in areas, humid areas, dry areas, you're better off. But anyway, let's not go into that. So they move on to yet another abandoned house. This is the one I really like. Well, kind of not abandoned, because they walk in the bedroom and there's a skeleton in the bed. And man takes off the top blanket and makes
poncho.
Or
a wrap.
I was going to say a snuggie, but he didn't cut a hole in it. It would have been awesome. He to keep boy warm. And this is the house where in the backyard he accidentally finds a lot of things, I have to say. Man, Viggo Mortensen, he accidentally finds a lot of things. But they find this underground, like, bomb shelter. And they hit the jackpot. A gold mine. Because it's filled with canned goods.
And potted meat.
Potted meat and liquor. And vitamin water. It sounds like a good time to me, too. I don't know why they didn't stay there. He heard noises and they had the mattress. And he, like, covered it up when they went down there and closed it in. And they even took a bath in the abandoned house.
I know.
And got clean and clipped nails. And he tried to cut his hair and shave a little bit. I would have stayed in that bitch as long as I could.
Hell yeah.
Especially if nobody was seeing it. But they left again with another cart. A different cart they made out of. I don't even know what it was made out of.
A wooden cart.
Yeah, it was. But they put some canned goods and went on the road. They met old man, and little boy felt bad for him because they felt like the old man was a good guy. And they had dinner with him. It was Robert Duvall, I think, was old man.
Bobby D.
Yeah, Bobby D. He was old man, and he left them. He was the only one who said a name in the movie. He said his name was Eli, but they didn't believe him. And they continued on, and their whole thing was, yeah, they were trying to get to a warmer climate, to the beach, to the water, and they did, and the boy got sick, and man went swimming in the ocean and left boy on the beach with stuff, and this black guy came and stole everything while boy was sleeping, including the blankets. So they chase after him, and they made the poor black guy who plays Chalky Wet on Boardwalk Empire. They made him get naked and stole his clothes and his shoes. And they took off Aww. With him. I know. And then the boy was kind of like, but now we're being bad guys. But they continue on to the beach, and man's getting sicker and sicker. And he finally is taken in by the consumption and dies.
Aww.
I know. And boy's walking along the beach and he sees some other people and he's holding the gun on them. And it's a guy who says he can come live with him and his wife and kids. And the boy wants to know whether they're good people or whether they eat people. And they say, no, we don't eat people. But my whole thing is, how do you know? How do you know they not telling him, no, we don't eat people.
That's in the book.
Damn it. See, that's why I need to read the book. Because the movie ended and I'm like, well, how does he know they don't eat people? And they're just telling him that to lure him in. And then next thing you know, they're dipping him in chocolate or something.
The end involves a spit.
Really? Seriously?
No, I don't know.
You bastard. I'm thinking, oh, really? They spit him? Like a goat? What's going on? But yeah, it's kind of a... See, we had two kind of heart-wrenching movies this week, and we didn't really plan it that way. We just kind of...
It's the holiday season.
Holiday season is meant for heart-wrenching movies?
Yes.
And cannibalism?
People are delicious.
It's a cookbook! To serve man, it's a cookbook! Cannabis. And just on a side note, I don't know, I mean, we talked about this briefly, but yeah, they're making an Edgar Allan Poe movie called The Raven, and John Cusack is playing Edgar Allan Poe, and they released the photos from the set, and El Sammy Bisto and I decided...
That at the end of it, he should hold up a boombox.
And that
he... stand out in the rain.
He looks just like John Cusack with a fake mustache and goatee holding a raven. Everybody's like, he looks just like Edgar Allan Poe. I'm like, no, he doesn't. Looks like John Cusack with a goatee holding a raven. That's about it. So, now we come to the end of our show.
The end.
The end. And you can reach us at lpmpodcasts@gmail.com. Hey, let us know if you'd like to see, like, some kind of little video passage or video part along with the podcast. Let us know if you're a band and you'd like us to promote you. Let us know if you have events that you would like us to promote. Anything else, Sammy Bisto?
Bye for now.
Bye for now. We leave you with a great song by Sea Monster, Sex God Chant. See you next time.
Bye.